So join me in praying and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you that you are with us here. We acknowledge your sovereignty over all things. We acknowledge your good and your kind, full of mercy. And we thank you so much for this moment that we have to gather together as your people. And we desire to learn from you. So we ask that you would teach us. We ask that you'd open our ears to hear your voice and our eyes to see you. We ask you bless us, and you would keep us, and you would cause your face to shine upon us in this moment as we open your word. We look to you. We're dependent on you, Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we are continuing our series entitled Meals with Jesus this morning. And we are going to be in Luke chapter 10, and beginning in verse 38. I think all of us are in agreement that we like to have meals, we like to eat. It's an important part of our lives, important part of our cultures. Each culture does it differently, has different expressions of how they do meals. I had a cultural experience yesterday. I went with Cohen and Jane to a place, I can't remember the name of it, but it was a pizza buffet place. And it's one of these all-you-can-eat pizza where, you know, they really encourage you to hold back and eat moderately and go to the salad bar. I had to hold Jane and Cohen back from... Yeah, it was embarrassing. No, just kidding. But that was a cultural experience. The meals we're talking about with Jesus are probably a little bit different than a pizza buffet here in America. Let's look at our passage in Luke chapter 10. We'll read that together. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Right before this story, we're all very familiar with, there's the story that Jesus tells of what we call the Good Samaritan. A story of salvation. A story where we see the gospel clearly presented in Jesus crossing boundaries and bringing salvation to the least. And then we have this story that Luke tells about Mary and Martha, two sisters. There's a famous book that Charles Dickens wrote called A Tale of Two Cities. And in that book, he opens up with that famous line that many of you are familiar with, probably, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And that's a phrase that points out this major conflict between family and love, hatred and oppression, good and evil, light and darkness, wisdom and folly. There's these contrasts between these two different nations and socioeconomic things that are happening, going on. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. good and evil clashing. In this story that we read in Luke chapter 38, it's partly a story of conflict between two sisters. The story of Martha and Mary. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. I don't know if you've ever realized this, but siblings fight sometimes. I don't know if you ever heard this in your home. I never hear it. It's not fair that I have to do all the work. It's not fair. Why is Elena smiling? It's kind of what happens here. Jesus, it's not fair. Why do I have to do all the work? There's an aspect in this story where cultural norms are being shattered. Here is Mary, not in her rightful place. In that society, there was a place for the men, there was a place for the women, and sitting and listening to a famous teacher, a rabbi, was not the woman's place. And here is Jesus inviting her to be a part of those learning. We don't want to read too much into that, but we do know that Jesus invited all peoples. The gospel is the good news for all people, regardless of race, gender, or social, political standings. Jesus invites us to learn. He invited Mary. He welcomed Mary to sit and learn from him. A couple other observations from this text is that Martha is attending to herself as a hostess rather than attending to Jesus as her guest. The text says, Martha was distracted with much serving. One author said, asked the question, what was she distracted from? And the contrast here that he points out is that Mary is with Mary. Because the Bible says she sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Martha, on the other hand, is distracted from Jesus. Some of us have to learn that when we are being hospitable and having people into our homes, that our guests matter more than our hospitality. Our aim is to serve and not impress. On the other hand, some of us need to get out of our comfort zone and try to be more hospitable. So really, one of the things that we want to talk about this morning in this text is highlighting the fact that these two sisters were being hospitable. They were opening their home to Jesus. And so while this text doesn't explicitly say that they had a meal, because our series is about meals with Jesus, it does imply that they would have had a meal. Jesus had been traveling. He arrives probably in the evening at their home, and his friends, Martha, Mary, their brother Lazarus, welcome him back to their home. He was a frequent guest at their home. And more than likely, he would have been served a meal, several meals. They were showing hospitality, especially Martha, we know from the scriptures, was a woman who was very hospitable, very serving. But for some of us, the idea of being hospitable can be a little bit scary, a little bit, it's kind of hard to be hospitable. We know we should be hospitable, but it's hard sometimes. And sometimes we will acknowledge here, so there's times in our life when we're not able to be hospitable. There's certain situations that arise in our lives where it doesn't allow us to do that. Maybe it's a sickness or maybe a certain event in our life. So there's times when we're not able to do that. But what I want to just address right now is sometimes the excuses that we have for not being hospitable. Here's a few excuses that we might have. Tim Chester shares this. He says one of them might be that it's just too scary for us. Having people into our home, we might think, well, what do they think about my cooking or my cleaning? or my decor. Putting ourselves on display. It's a little scary having people into your private area space, you know? But we had to understand, are we fearing man when we're thinking that way? When God's opinion is what matters most, the God who smiles on us in His grace, then we are liberated to serve others out of love rather than to gain their good opinion. So we want to have a clean house when we're being hospitable, but we don't want to compare ourselves to the Instagram feed, the Pinterest feed. You know, everything's perfect. That's how it's got to be. Well, some of us say, well, I can't cook a meal. Well, maybe you can just do coffee. Have somebody over just for coffee or water, maybe. At least that. You say, well, my kids are going to fight. People might see, you know, my kids aren't very well behaved. Well, that's reality. Guess what? All of our kids fight, and sometimes we're going to have to correct them when the guests are there, and that's okay. Another excuse might be, you know, it's too costly to be hospitable. It takes time. It takes money. Things might break. They might break my ceramic. That's true. And the other thing is your meal doesn't have to be super special or super costly. Maybe you can just add a little bit more than to what you were already making for dinner that night when you're having guests. Or you could just have dessert, or you could just be creative. What we want to remember is, when we think that way, you know, it's just too costly, I can't do it. Remember the cost that Jesus paid for us to dine with Him at that banquet, that messianic banquet that we'll have. It was His blood. And that's our motive. That's our model. We want to look to Jesus. Anytime that excuse might come, I just can't afford that. Well, Jesus, He paid with His blood. Another excuse might be, I'm just too busy. Too busy. There's no way I could have guests into my home. My life is just already too full. And that's a reality. All of us are very busy. One thing we have to do is if that's an excuse that we have, is we have to realize it takes planning and intentionality if we're going to be hospitable. It might mean you have to let others come and help you prepare. Being humble, letting others help you prepare, letting others help you clean up so it doesn't all fall upon you. Or if you're at somebody's house, maybe you could do that. Say, hey, can I help clean up the dishes? And that's always a great thing. Our aim is to love and to not impress. Honestly, sometimes our excuse that we're too busy is because we're trying to do more than God expects. We might be too busy because we're insecure and need to control life. But God is great and cares for us as a sovereign heavenly Father. You may be too busy because you fear other people, and so you can't say no. But God is glorious, and His opinion is the one that matters. You may be too busy because you're filling your life with activity in a desperate attempt to find satisfaction, but God is good and the true source of joy. Finally, you may be too busy because you're trying to prove yourself through your work or ministry, but God is gracious and justifies you freely through Christ's finished work. So all of this really points us to the gospel. We want to see, who is God? What has He done? Who are I? Who am I as a result of that? And how should I live? We will never create time for people until we address the issues of our heart and find rest in God's greatness, glory, goodness, and grace. So we're called to be hospitable. We're called to be like Martha and Mary and Lazarus in opening up our home. We're called to serve. Third thing, observation, is it's not simply, in this passage, it's not simply the presence of Jesus to which Mary pays attention. A challenge of this story that we have is we want to be attentive to God's word. Jesus says to Martha, "You are anxious and troubled about many things." Interestingly, the word anxious that's used here is the same word Luke uses in the story of the sower in a little later on. He says, "As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares or anxieties and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature." Martha, it's been observed, is distracted from hearing the word of God by anxieties. So we want to stop here for a moment and look at that. We try to define what we're referring to when we talk about anxiety. And some of us struggle with anxiety. That's been something that I've struggled with probably over the more recent years, just being anxious, struggling with anxiety. So what is it, and what are we talking about when it says that Mary was anxious? We know that the scripture says not to be anxious. It says in Matthew 6:34, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself." Paul says in Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious about anything." So we have those in scriptures, but some of us struggle with anxiety, being anxious. Martha struggled with it. She was being anxious. She was distracted. It's helpful to distinguish or talk about the context, depending on the context, when we talk about anxiety. Fear and anxiety may be one of the four following types. One, it could be a God-given emotional response for our benefit. Two, it could be a disordered physiological response that is actually not sinful. Third, it could be a natural consequence of sin. Or fourthly, it's a sinful response to God's providential care. Anxiety and fear, it's important to distinguish anxiety from fear because anxiety and fear are closely related. They're similar emotions working on different time frames. So fear, as one author has put it, is an emotional response to a real or perceived immediate threat. Okay, that car's about to hit me, fear floods me. I know it's real. It's a real thing. Anxiety is an emotional response to a real or perceived future threat. Fear is a physiological or emotional warning system that alerts us to danger right now, while anxiety is a warning system of impending danger. So something might happen. I'm not sure it's going to happen, but I get anxious about something that may or may not happen in the future. We don't have time to get into all those different types of anxiety, but just enough to acknowledge here that it was something that Martha was wrestling with in this text. We'll just read it one more time here. So Martha has welcomed them into her home. She's serving. Mary's sitting, listening. It says, "Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are so anxious and troubled about many things.'" So one of the results of her anxiousness, her anxiety, her trouble was that she was being distracted. Or you could flip it the other way. Because she was distracted, she was becoming anxious and troubled. And often that is what happens when we take our eyes off of Christ. There's an interesting passage. This is a whole other subject. We could be a whole other sermon to deal with anxiety. But one passage of Scripture that often we might go to is 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." Often we'll go to that last part. Cast all your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. We'll try to use other scriptures, and sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't. The scripture, when dealing with anxiety, it's not like take a pill, you'll be fine in the morning, or read this verse and you'll be fine. It's an ongoing struggle sometimes, a lifelong struggle of learning. What we want to highlight in that passage is not forget the first part. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. So it starts with that. It starts with the humble acknowledging, God, I am really struggling right now. I'm worried. I'm troubled. I don't know how to deal with all this. Help me. I need you. And so that's where it starts, is the humbling yourself, acknowledging I need help. I need you, God. I need help right now. It's a humbling ourselves, and then we cast our anxieties upon Him. That's our Peter's exhortation is a great place to start when we're dealing with anxiety. Humble ourselves and acknowledge our need of focusing on Christ. So going back to our text and looking at Martha and Mary and their hospitality that Martha's giving, there's a couple questions to ask ourselves when we are serving others. Do we get so busy and anxious about the preparation and serving our guests that we miss meaningful interaction with our guest? Jesus was there. Martha, she didn't have meaningful interaction with Him because she was so busy with the preparation, the serving. Do we get so busy trying to get it right in serving others that we miss our relationship with Jesus? Do we get so busy trying to work for Jesus that we miss our relationship with Him? Sometimes in our homes and in our hearts, just think about yourself and in your hearts, we're so busy doing good things that we get distracted that we lose our first love. We stop listening to Jesus' voice, who is there with us. And we start listening to the thousand other options that just push themselves upon us. In the letter of Revelation, John shares Jesus' words, and he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." What an invitation that is for us, that's given to us as Jesus' friends, His sons, and His daughters. He wants to come in and He wants to dine with us. And it's not that fast pizza buffet meal where it's get as much as you can and get out of there. No, it's the long, I'm going to stay, I'm going to talk, you can tell me what's on your heart, let's not be in a rush. That's what He's inviting us to. And also, this is a present reality that we can have now in our meals, that fellowship with Jesus, but it's all and with others, but it's also there's also a greater meal that our present meals point to. There will be a day when we will sit with Jesus and we will sit with all the other saints in the new heavens and the new earth at a table, at a meal, celebrating Him and enjoying Him forever. So let's go back to our text for a minute and look at our sisters. If we were to jump forward a little bit in chapter 12, we read that Martha in John chapter 12, that Martha is still serving, but this time there's no you're so distracted. Something's changed. This is a woman that is truly a servant. Martha is a giant among us when it comes to serving. She is a servant. And Jesus, remember, says that if you want to be great, you must be the servant of all. So it is a good thing that Martha is doing. But we want Martha's life to point us to Jesus himself, who is the better Martha. He is the supreme servant, laying down his life for us. He served and yet was never distracted or anxious or apart from his Father. He did not, remember, he did not come to be served, but to serve. He doesn't complain about not getting our help. He is perfectly content in who he is. He is always at perfect peace. We also look to Mary and we see that Jesus is better because he is perfectly at rest, always doing his Father's will, always listening to his Father. Like Mary, who, if we had other saw her whole life, there were moments when she wasn't. So in our serving, it is possible that, like Mary, we forget that Jesus is with us. He is our guest. He said, when I was hungry, when I was thirsty, you fed me. You gave me something to drink. That was me. He's always with us. When we host others, remember, we are hosting him. We want to be opening an application. We want to be opening our homes and tables, hosting others. Naturally, I'm more of an introvert. So I don't go out and necessarily invite the masses in. But I've learned a lot from being overseas for a long time and being in a lot of people's homes who are great examples of hosting and serving and bringing people in. Or my wife Amy has been a great example of this, of constantly having people in our home and serving and giving meals, hundreds, probably thousands of meals. Sometimes my kids would get upset because no one's coming for dinner tonight. What? Sometimes Martin, we'd have a meal ready and Martin would run upstairs to the people that lived upstairs and invite them down to dinner. It's like, okay, fine, go ahead and invite them down there. And they'd come on down to dinner. So we want to be opening, have an open home. But also there are times, just a reminder, there's seasons for quiet and just family. But we are called to be in relationship to others. We're called to serve. We're called to be like Mary. We're called to be in relationship to others. You might say, you know, I can't really open my home. Well, there's some other creative avenues. You can use coffee shops or invite someone to come out somewhere. When the weather is not freezing outside, you can go to a picnic table at a park. The idea is we want to create an environment where the gospel can be presented in word and deed. We want to be hospitable. We want to open our tables to others to be able to have community with us. In closing, let's just be reminded that Martha is not the bad guy. She's not an enemy of the word, as one author has put it. She's not ashamed of Jesus and his words. She's his friend. She's hosting him. But she's not rejected Jesus' words. That's the point here. The thing is that she is distracted. So what are we distracted from today? What are the things that are distracting us? Is it your career? Maybe it's your home, holidays, maybe it's gadgets, maybe it's your own image, maybe it's your investments. Jesus said to her, one thing is necessary, to sit at his feet and listen to his word. That's the one thing that was necessary. It's the one thing that won't be taken away. So, in closing, this story doesn't promote a spirituality of disengagement or a contemplative life. It offers words of invitation. It reorientates us to the Word that promises a future banquet. And this promise liberates us from the worries of this world so that we can put first God's kingdom. So sustained by the words of Jesus, we're set free to care for those we meet on the road whom others pass by, like the Samaritan in the preceding story, despite the risks and the cost. So God has called us as His church to be hospitable, to invite others into your life, to the table with you, to open your homes or to invite them to do something with you, have a meal with you. But at the same time, we are called to not lose sight of Christ, to be sitting at His feet, to listening to His voice, to be doing both, to be serving, but in the midst of our serving, to be listening to Jesus and looking to Him. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You so much for Your goodness to us. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your word. We pray that You would help us. Lord, help us not to be anxious, not to be distracted. Help us to listen to You. And help us have the courage to open our homes and our lives, our hearts to others, to be servants, to serve others, because You are a great example. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.